As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. When Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios.
Powering your drive with 10 brands and 20 locations.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, it is Dom time. President Trump today had the COVID page changed. And on the COVID page now, I think this is with the CDC. I just saw the headline. It said, yeah, Wuhan, China, that's where it came from. And it took away a lot of the nonsense left over from COVID, where we haven't had a day of reckoning. David Zweig was a brilliant guest right in the middle. I think he'll remember. I think it was toward the summertime when we were starting to get hit with this and some of the crazy stuff that went on. And we had him back again and again and again, multiple times on a bunch of stuff. He's very prolific, published in all the biggest places. And we said, when's the book coming? Well, the book drops on Tuesday. An Abundance of Caution, American Schools, the Virus, and a Story of Bad Decisions about the Catastrophic Long-Term School Closures and Other Policy Failures. And I would maintain the fraud that continues. Kids in school were already not necessarily doing that well. And those that were not doing that well are doing abysmally in the long term, including the absentee rate. That is just horrific. And any test, anything that you want to see, they didn't take that money. They did not do what you needed to do. One-on-one tutoring, world-class tutoring, all out Manhattan Project. All right, David joins us again here in Philadelphia with this book. I need to get an autographed copy of this after all of this. Congratulations, David.
Thank you so much. I got to get down there to Philly and, yeah, hand you one in person. I can't believe the day is finally here after years and interviews with you so many times coming on the show.
National shows. We had you on. Anytime I filled in nationally, we had you on. Do you remember the first time? I seem to remember we were coming up for some reason, slightly coming out of this, and we had you on because you wrote something you published all over the place about summer camps or something that summer around COVID.
Yeah, I wrote, there was guidance came out for summer camps, and it said that they wanted the kids to mask outdoors. And I was like, that seems insane. That doesn't make sense, because I had been, you know, any regular person saw that didn't make sense, but I was, you know, deeply involved in reporting all this for quite some time. I immediately reached out to some infectious disease specialists and others that I knew and alerted them, because no one else had written about this. And I'm like, how can the New York Times had a piece, but it said, you know, like, new guidelines are out for camp, how to keep your kids safe. And I'm like, that's all we saw. So anyway, I wrote a piece for New York Magazine.
That's it.
Where I had a few experts, and they said, these guidelines are draconian. This is terrible. Kids should not be masked outdoors, and you're playing a kid in tennis who's 30 feet away from you. Why do you have to wear a mask? And in one of the triumphs of my career, I think, almost immediately after the article came out, Rochelle Walensky, the head of the CDC, was grilled about it. You know, they were pulling quotes from the article, and then they changed the guidance. So one of those rare instances where journalism can make a difference.
Well, you had to be on this end. The reaction of listeners is what we go by. Dan and I had our own ears, our own guts hearing you, this guy coming here. But because, David, you know this, it's rare that you have somebody cutting edge, provocative, that our radar doesn't go off. This guy might at some point be radioactive. There were those people out there. Sometimes I think they're on the Joe Rogan show. Some of them, I think, are just provocative. Some of them, my reaction is, nope, I'm not doing this again. This could be trouble. This is going to end badly. But with you, we heard a guy that was evidence-based, had a good eye for this, and moved forward. And now, the biggest gripe I have, although Trump is trying to do some things, we're going to see some different stuff with RFK Jr. Dr. Marty McCarry is in there. That's our guy. We haven't had the day of reckoning on this yet, where we have a consensus. That's why this book and this battle is so important, as you know, to document it so that they can't do it again, not just on something like this, but anything. It was this petty, soft tyranny that both ruined businesses and my expertise in the area of education. It set kids back. And the evidence just the other day here in Pennsylvania, several states, the Trump administration clawed back hundreds of billions of dollars in COVID aid that was not spent. They were supposed to spend it to do what we're talking about.
Yeah, it was quite remarkable that the money, these largely what are called the ESSER funds that you probably are aware of. Right. These were funds that were earmarked to help kids throughout America try to recover some of the learning loss that happened, amongst a variety of other harms that were incurred by children. But there was virtually no strings attached. So we had this situation, and I talk about this in the book, where you had teachers' unions and many others, and we can get into this if you want. We had all sorts of people demanding that all sorts of money was necessary for schools to open, for them to be safe. Eventually, the schools did open, and then they said, well, now we need more money to help kids. Okay, but guess what? The money went to all sorts of other things. I know in my district, part of the money was used for hiring a DEI coordinator. What does that have to do with helping kids with learning loss from COVID? So this was just a bonanza of billions and billions and billions of dollars funneled to schools with virtually no obligation that it actually be spent on things related to the learning loss from the pandemic. It was quite remarkable.
I see why I didn't get asked to write a blurb here. You have Dr. Marty, Matt Tabibi. All right, let me go through a couple of others here that wrote blurbs for you from the book. Nate Silver, so we're on the other side here too. Paul Romer, Nobel Prize in Economics. And Jeffrey S. Filer, former dean, Harvard Medical School. All right, I got to say, I have to bring out
the big guns.
That's an impressive. It would be embarrassing to be saying read this book with these guys. And I know that speaks well of your work and where we are. To you now, as the author doing this, has been years in processing this. What nugget or what's the highlight section in here that you want to zone in on, David?
Well, I would say just very top level that what I hope people will come away with after reading the book is a deeper understanding of how the gears turn behind the scenes in our society. We all live here and we observe things happening, but I pull the curtain back and show how these public health experts came to their decisions. And I also show how the health experts and the media, largely what we call, you know, the legacy media, these big media outlets like the New York Times and on down, how they worked together to put forth a very, very particular narrative. And I think people have, assumptions about that, but it's only through reading. It's essentially what I would call a case study, but a very engaging one for regular people, where I walk you through, here's how these pieces got put together. And I think that's the most important thing for people. As you mentioned, it's not just for another pandemic or something. It's kind of to understand how the gears turn for any crisis in America, to see how the media operates in conjunction with the authorities when it wants to. And in this circumstance, they worked together because they were on the same quote unquote team. And I go through and explain and show how that happened. And it's, that, and I'm glad you mentioned all those blurbs for the book. It's quite stunning. Everyone knows what happened during the pandemic and what they experienced and observed. What they don't know is how the sausage was made. And that's what I show in the book.
And that's critical for listeners, because that shows us the same mechanism, infrastructure that could be used, not with this to create the wrong narratives. It can be used with anything where you're going to get the same attempt to shut down with false information and tell us about science. In bold type, you write, the consensus we were told that existed in the medical establishment was false. And David, if I, had more connection to you, I would have told you, I don't know if he would have talked to you, Dr. David Damsker was our caller, person of the year one year. He's over in Bucks County, public health guy. He's still there, but he was prominent. He's the one in our area that said the 6-foot rule was faulty. You only needed 3 feet, if that, and that would have opened up a lot of schools. Well, he, across the state, it was wildfire, and what they did was they essentially demoted him and just put him in the basement, the Bucks County commissioners of the public health out in Bucks County. Actual, right here, the guy that was breaking us out of jail, that's how the system dealt with him.
So that's a great anecdote, and it's a nice dovetail to sort of that. I don't want to give away too much, but to my mind, the kind of zenith of the book, the climax toward the end is, how do the kids finally get back in school buildings? And it's only because the governor of Massachusetts, who is a Republican, it's only because he disregarded the CDC's guidance, and he allowed schools, if they wanted to go below 6 feet. And what happened was there were a few researchers, one named Western Branch Elliman, who was at Harvard Medical School, and a few others who said, there is no evidence that 6 feet of distancing is beneficial in schools. And God knows the CDC and no one else was doing anything about it. So they took it upon themselves. They weren't paid or anything. They did it. And they conducted a study in Massachusetts where they compared schools with 6 feet versus 3 feet or some other distance. And you know what they found? There was no benefit.
There was no benefit.
And it was only until these researchers on their own chose to do this and put this together that finally it was just so irrefutable that the CDC had to cry uncle and then eventually change the guidance. So it's only because of these researchers that that ultimately kids were able to get back into school. And it's only because this governor didn't listen to the CDC. So what people need to understand, this is part of the gears that I'm talking about behind the scenes, is that there was a scenario created. It was a catch-22. We had all these rules that everyone had to follow, and if you didn't do so, you were a piece of garbage and a monster. But yet, they had no evidence that any of these interventions were effective, and it would be impossible to prove them wrong without going against them, because how could you test it against something else?
Exactly.
So it's just a remarkable circumstance, and I do a lot in the book where I talk about millions of kids being in school in Europe, and I kind of take you on a tour of what's going on over there at the time. And I'll tell you one last thing, if we have a moment, which is this book is not a Monday morning quarterback retrospective. The whole book, I take you through chronologically in that first year of the pandemic, what was known at the time. So that's very important, because one of the arguments is, well, it was the fog of war. They did
yes.
the best they could. We didn't know. That is a lie. That's false. And it's really important for people to understand why that's not true. So I just, you were really astute in pointing out that this book, again, it's not really about the pandemic. That's the backdrop. But this book arms people with an understanding of how these big institutions within our society, the government, the legacy media, the health establishment, how these large institutions work together to create a narrative and to create a sort of acrimonious environment in the United States where you can't disagree with them. So, and as you said, this is important to understand for any crisis. So that's my aim for the book, because God knows you don't get rich writing books generally. This is just something where I spent years and years on this because it felt so important to me to create a history, to show the record about what happened, and to enable interested Americans to really know. So the next time you're at a cocktail party, you can talk to people and say, actually, this is how things work.
I like the actually word. You know, you're just getting over this book and it drops. You're excited and all. Is there an RFK Jr. book in you? Because I'll tell you, David, I have two minds with the guy. The legacy can be tremendous. And then I get off the ramp there and certain things. I've not seen anybody that other than President Trump. This guy is going to be historic. Overall thoughts with RFK Jr. so far, do you have any?
Yeah, I think like anyone, he's likely a flawed individual. And, you know, I am not knowledgeable enough about the right. Research regarding vaccines and autism. So I just can't comment on that. But what I would say is, one thing I am confident about is just from years of science reporting, the basic things he's talking about with health and nutrition are undeniable. And he is the only guy who's really had the nerve to kind of come in with guns blazing and try to, you know, actually make change on this. But unfortunately, and this is another thing I talk about and show in the book, the tribalism in our country is so powerful that even someone who's correct on some things, if they're seen like they're on the wrong team, then they just have to be dismissed entirely out of hand. And that's the kind of core message in the book, which is that the American Academy of Pediatrics put out a statement that said, we need to open the schools. This is the most important things for kids. And by the way, don't even worry about 6 feet of distancing. If you can, great, do it. But if you can't, it's more important to get the kids in school. Shortly after that, Trump tweeted, we must open the schools with, you know, 100 exclamation points. And within days, the AAP, the American Academy of Pediatrics, reversed its guidance. They got rid of anything talking about distancing. They got rid of the saying, no matter what, get the kids in school. Everyone fell in line. It was because Donald Trump, and I have a zillion examples of this, about how doctors who are reaching out to me privately off the record, and these are physicians at top institutions in our country, around the country contacting me and saying, I think this is wrong what's happening, but I'm afraid to talk about it publicly. My boss has told me I'm not allowed to talk about it. One of my colleagues was reprimanded for saying something. So there was a whole network of people who knew what was going on was wrong, and they were afraid to talk about it. They were telling me, but this is the environment we are in. This is the type of things that I'm revealing in the book, these kind of behind the scenes things that it's like, oh, holy beep. Like what we were told, what we thought was actually happening was not really what was happening.
Absolutely. An abundance of caution. American schools, the virus, and the story of bad decisions. And again, I love the people that saw this, that they took the time to write about this and analyze this. It's commending. And again, thrilled for you. We've adopted you here over the years, and to be continued, David. Much success with this. Available now on pre-order. Then it'll be in bookstores and Amazon. Well, I guess it is now on Tuesday.
It's on Amazon now. Yeah. Yep. An abundance of caution. It's out there. You can pre-order it right now. It was so great. I've been waiting for this moment to talk to you for years because we've been leading up to this. Thanks so much for having
me. We'll do it again. Stay in touch with Dan. We'll set this up again. A little time passed, and the reaction you get to the book, and we'll revisit because, again, you said it today, it is about the epidemic, but it's also the machinery, the infrastructure. That's the big takeaway.
That's right. I know your listeners, some of they want to see that behind the scenes about how these gears turn in our society. This is really showing you the sausage. And I'm happy to have anyone reach out to me. I'm very accessible. So while they're reading the book, feel free to chime in and email me. I'm easy to find.
Thank you, David, very much. Take care.
Thanks for having me. It was great.
Dan, it feels good, doesn't it? I think you discovered, you got him on first, the New Yorker. You may remember back then at summer about kids with masks on playing tennis in summer camps. And just an all-around good guy. And he just burst onto the scene. And he gets it. He's saying this is about the narrative that goes on, not just COVID. So, all right, let me take a couple here. Then we'll give you Dom's money melody. Let me take Richard in Westchester. Richard, thanks for the wait. Who is a bad boy for you?
Bad boy for me is Bruce Willis of Die Hard. I mean, that guy was cool. He was tough. And I want to be his sidekick.
All right. Yeah, he qualifies as a bad boy, the role that he played throughout that.
Welcome to the party, pal.
There you go. Yeah, no, definitely not a bad guy, but a bad boy in this. Let's go. I think Robert M. Bensalem saving up here. I think he's got one. This is a good one, too. This just kind of gets the flavor of it. David in Somerset. Hey, David, welcome in.
How are you, Dom? Happy
good.
Easter to you
Thank
and your
you.
Family.
Same to you.
No problem. Hey, by the way, with reference to Madeline Dean, I mean, you know, they're like a moth to the flame for anything that sounds so dramatic. And what they don't realize is they need to go and try to recruit people from the middle. And all they do is they just throw, you know, they throw red meat to their base. And
right.
That's not going to win you election.
No, they're in the bubble. It's somehow another, David, you know, I don't know where you are, but the suburbs here were vaguely Republican most of my life. And over the last 10 or 15 years, they're progressive now. She actually said her son has a crown tattoo and she's got tattoos. They're going to disappear her if we can't run against this Republican Party. What's the hold of this woman?
Yeah, no, and personally, I'd like to see her show us the receipts that she paid for that trip, because I'll guarantee you she hasn't paid a check in a long time.
No, but maybe then with Chinese yen or whatever their thing is, they might pay in that.
Exactly.
David, what's your choice?
My answer is Marvin Bad News Barnes, who actually was convicted of taking a tire iron and trying to assault one of his teammates at Providence.
Yes. So, now, wait a minute. That goes back to Providence. That's the center, right?
He was their center.
Yeah. Bob Lanier had the 21-inch shoes, right?
Well, Bob Lanier was from St. Bonaventure.
That's right. Okay, I'm mixing them up.
This was the 73 team with Ernie
right.
D. Gregorio.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
What's his name was the coach, the commissioner of the Big East. Why can't I? His name is escaping
Dave.
Me.
Dave Gavitt. What was it, Henry?
Yeah, Dave Gavitt.
Yeah, yep. Dave Gavitt.
Yeah. And that set in place everything to put together the Big East.
Yeah, there you go. All right, that's a good one. Now, Bob Lanier's sneaker size, I think, was a 21 or something like that. I know that seems unimaginable. That's why I was confusing it too. All right, one more, then we'll give you the money melody. Joe in Bordentown's got the first female. Joe, who's yours?
Mine is Lady Godiva, who rode naked on a horse through town to protest taxation. And it happened about the same time as the Battle of Hastings in 1066.
That is a bad girl. That's a pretty good one. The first bad girl surfaces here. Right now, though, it's time for...
It's Dom. Money Melody.
Has all the money gone?
All right, we are playing again for that, the amateur. Why did I mess up here? Too many papers. Let me see. Yeah, here we go. All right, we are playing today for a pair of Fandango movie codes to see The Amateur from 20th Century Studios, rated R, only in theaters and IMAX. The Amateur's an all-new espionage thriller from 20th Century Studios, starring Oscar winner Rami Malek, Bohemian Rhapsody, and Academy Award nominee Lawrence Fishburne, Matrix. There we go. We have to put that editor notes in. We can't help it here. The staff had different things that wrote this up. Okay.
What's love got to do with
it? All right.
Yeah. Right.
Should I bring up Aquila and the Bee again? Great movie.
Yeah. Okay.
Anywho. Yeah, Dom, so today we're asking for that all-time bad boy. Some bad boys back in the 80s, as they went against mainstream American culture in their music, was Public Enemy. If you remember,
right.
Public Enemy
sure.
had a number one hit song in Fight the Power. Today I'm going to play a cover of Fight the Power. I want to know the band playing this cover. All right, let's take a listen.
All right, we're looking again, Henry, for...
We're looking for this band name. You might know them because they're a very iconic name and because they sang a very famous sitcom's TV show theme.
Ooh. Oh, that part I don't know. Okay. 855-839-1210. Bye. Can we call this guy a bad boy? See, it would be hard for me to go bad boy with Mangione when you're shooting a guy on the street. He's on my radar, though, because... The bad boy appeal, but Pam Bondi just put on additional charges. I mean, the only thing is here, are we going to execute this guy or not? Or is he going to be married to 15 women in jail? 855-839-1210.
Can I make one more clue, Henry?
Yes, go ahead.
The name would almost imply that these guys are bad boys, right?
Yeah.
The name of the band.
All right. Hit us with that. You're off to the movies. We see some great ones here on bad boy stuff, particularly one that's... Boy, really got my attention, and we'll have the prize at the end of the show today. Is it,
each... It's going another Gallo's...
another Gallo, $50 gift card, Jim. Thank you so much. And the burger bar there that's attached. You want to get to Gallo's. You're looking for a great meal over Easter, Holy Saturday, Good Friday seafood. You got to get over to Gallo's right now before Roe beats you there and gets that salad. 855-839-12...
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Tap.
It's the Money Melody.
Where has all the money gone?
Show me the money.
That is right. All right, let's listen to the sound and then tell us who this band is. I can feel it that Kurt in Warrington thinks he knows pretty well. Kurt, who's the band?
That is the Bare Naked Ladies.
Wow. Big fan of them, Kurt?
Always have been, yep.
All right, enjoy the film, and just remember Matrix, not whatever else they tell you. All right. Use the red pill and the blue pill, not the rest of it. That was the wrong pill. All right, 855-839-1210, that's how you get on board. Another winner today, then we'll have a winner for the game of the week. Is the prodigal son, Dan, do I draw you into this? Let's see. Particularly, is the prodigal son the bad boy? Listeners know. And Roe tells me, don't bring this up. I never liked the prodigal son parable. And I have to ask Pastor Bill Devlin, he was on today, I should have gone to him. How do you preach this? I see the good son is the good guy, and they're having big parties and killing the fatted calf for the prodigal son, who's the bad boy. You guys agree or no?
I have to revisit this parable again.
Oh, Henry, you're our religious guy.
I know. That's why I feel so, dumb on this. Like, oh, man, was that how it's portrayed?
Well, that's my portrayal.
Yeah.
What happens is the prodigal son, that's why the term prodigal, goes away, does all kinds of things, gambling, women, wine, and song. Then he comes back, and the father's thrilled. And the good son, they always make the good son out to be the heel, says, well, what about me? And the father then says, don't you know you're with me all days? You're going to get everything or something like that. But no fuss is made over the good guy. That's what I'm reacting to. Women seem to
all
like
right,
the
so,
bad
so
boy.
Let's play this out. You got Luke and DJ, right?
Yes.
So Luke, he's a good guy, hangs at home. DJ goes out there, just spends a bunch of money, comes home. And DJ comes back, and you love your sons equally. I think any parent would say that.
Right.
So after that equal love of, DJ going off and doing all this, you spending all that time with Luke, you're telling me you're not going to spend more time with DJ when he comes home?
I'm not going to go out of my way to make sure Luke knows. That's where I go with it. He doesn't have to say anything.
That's true, yeah.
I'm going to bring it up.
Yeah.
I mean, you have, with your brother, there's like a longer thing. I mean, they make the way I've heard it, that the good son, what the hell is this guy even bringing this up for? Isn't he happy to see his brother coming home? He is, but there's only one fatted calf. That's why it's called a fatted calf. Henry, you know that parable?
I know the parable. I just, I wasn't familiar with your portrayal of it, I guess. I guess I always thought,
it just gets me.
The other son was a jerk. You got to welcome your other brother home.
Yeah, but...
I know, I get what you're saying, though. Like, it is kind of unfair treatment. Right. Like, yeah, I did everything right. Why am
right.
I?
So you got the good son, then the other son, let's say, is an addict. All mm-hmm. right, we feel for it. We celebrate people when they call in, either alcohol or whatever they've got in their life. I just think you got to be careful to reinforce with the good son that, you know, we know what you're about. I have a pick on that because I just think too often we celebrate the bad boys.
So I'm doing some quick reading, though. So the kid comes home, right?
Yeah.
And he asks to be a servant, not a son.
Right.
Father says no, throws a celebration for the return instead.
Yes, like there you go.
So you're saying that the good...
You gotta be the servant for a while.
The good son's out there saying that he should be treated like a servant. I don't know. You don't treat your kid like a servant.
Well, in a sense, don't you have to make restitution?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, I think it's a dilemma. Pastor Bill Devlin, you got to get a line some by a miracle. You got to tell.
I can get him out after the break.
I bet you,
trying to get in.
Yeah, I bet you Bill Devlin is going to take more of my side on it. Okay. Well, do you have any parable, Henry, that you just feel you would recalibrate a little bit that affects you where you think, I'm not thinking the same thing?
I'm going to have to brush up on my parables.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I haven't been in Catholic school in a while.
You know, look, to do talk radio, you need to have a brain that's a bit quirky. Hopefully, it's not nuts. Although, I've been around some talk show hosts where it's quirkiness is good. And I hear that. I don't agree.
I always go by the old saying that a man who runs behind a car gets exhausted.
Okay.
It's just a double entendre.
All right. Gotcha. All right.
Is the exhaust?
Yes.
Thank you. We're coming to you for more calls. Mangione could face the death penalty in the federal case. What do you mean could face the death penalty? Well, there's aggravating and other mitigating. No, there's not one thing. He killed a guy in cold blood right there in the streets of Manhattan, and he had no business to kill him. You know, if he attacked him at all, I'd say the same thing. But all right, you know, this guy's a heel, what he did in the health care thing. But just murdering a guy in this manner, yeah, you get the death penalty. It's not a question of do you face it. All right, Bill Devlin may be with us for a brief sermon here, but we'll take your calls, too, coming up, and we'll get a winner, 855-839-1210. Let me talk about Martin first, though. It's so important to make sure our families have the essentials, food, shelter, and, of course, pure, clean drinking water. A lot of news about drinking water these days. Do what I did. Count on Martin Water Conditioning to secure your family's drinking water. The Connecticut system removes all the impurities from your water. What comes out of the tap? Crystal clear, all natural water. Not only the best tasting water ever, it provides peace of mind knowing that your family's water is pure and clean. The Martin Water Conditioning family is passionate about water. They will put their 46 years of experience to work for you. Their customer service, attention to detail. Our guy, Dwayne, for example, unbelievable. They are thrilled to show you the impurities and the solution. Just contact Martin Water Conditioning. Click on martinwater.com or 800-887-7555. Tell them Dom G sent you, 800-887-7555. All right, Dom G or Dano show. Now, Bill Devlin and I are joined at the hip usually. I don't know the last time Pastor Bill Devlin and I disagreed on anything imaginable. And he's, he can convince me of just about anything. Let's go to Pastor Bill Devlin, then I'm coming to your calls on the prodigal son, his Easter message here. Bill, you may have heard we're doing bad boys today. Do you have an all-time bad boy?
Well, I would say that, and God bless you, Dom and Dan and all of your great 1210 listeners. We just love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And Jesus on Good Friday loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And the reason we call it good is because this is the day that Jesus died on the cross and forgave our sins. So I was going to say Judas Iscariot. However, that may have already been taken off. So I'm not going to say Judas Iscariot, but I'm going to just go into the time warp of Dom's world. And I got to say, and you probably already took it off the board, Larry Krasner. So I'm entering Dom's world.
That's the insufferable. He's not a bad boy. He's a jerk. But yes, I hear you.
Right, yes. So God bless you on this good Friday.
And thank
we're
you,
looking
Bill.
Forward to Resurrection right. Day. And thank you for all you do. And I'm just in from 3 weeks in Nigeria, Northern Nigeria, trying to save that nation and going back this coming Wednesday on April 23rd. So I welcome the prayers of you and Dan and all your listeners.
Now, Pastor Bill, I mean, I've seen your ministry, my God, arrested in front of me and everything else and covered that.
Yeah.
But when you preach the prodigal son, I just think, Roe is really an intense, we even call the back room the Bible room now, intense study. And when we come to this, I always have made the point, am I the oddball? They make the good son too much of a whiner and complainer here. I have two sons, as you know, and I know you how many children you have. If the prodigal son comes home, of course we welcome, we do all those things. But I think at the same time, the good son's getting a bad rap here, and he's just dismissed. That's my point. I would find it hard to preach that. I would make that point. That'd be my point of emphasis, if I'd be so bold.
Well, Dom, as the theologian that you are, I always want to agree with great theologians like yourself. and so I'm with you. I think the good son got a bad rap. But I think what God was telling us through his word, Dom, was that here's the contrast. Here's the prodigal. He's out there. He has spent all of his entire life as a profligate. And, you know, here's the good news on Good Friday, and it's that God is willing to receive any of us and welcome us into his kingdom. If we ask forgiveness of sins, we receive Jesus into our heart and life. That's the great news, whether you're a good son or a bad son. And so that's really the good news here on Good Friday. And we're so thankful for you recognizing that. And we're looking forward, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And I don't even call it Easter anymore. We call it Resurrection Sunday. And I'm trying to rebrand that internationally. Let's call it Resurrection Sunday, not Easter Sunday. And forget about the Easter bunny and the eggs and all that stuff.
Well, Pastor, if they take away the peeps, I will be in the front line helping you with that. I despise the peeps' prominence. It's another thing. It's like the prodigal son. We all have our own quirky things.
Well, yeah, and I have to admit, I was a prodigal son until I was age 18. I was the ultimate prodigal son. I was a profligate. You didn't want to know me 54 years ago, Dom, because I probably would have murdered you. And as a result of my coming to faith in Jesus, I was transformed. And, people say, hey, have a good day. I said, I haven't had a bad day in 54 years, ever since Jesus entered my life.
Well, Bill,
I was the ultimate prodigal
son. I have to give you the ultimate honor, too. I tell people all the time, you know how joyous this job is for me. The characters that I run into, people know about Joey Vento. But Pastor Bill Devlin's in that top five or six, the guy globetrotting around the world calling me on a satellite phone, hiding in Cuba. This is what talk radio is that the other side does not get. It's not just politics. It's the human connection, the fun of it, and the people that we get to bond with in this way that is remarkable.
Well, and Dom, I think we're going into our 30th year. It might even be 35th year, but I remember all those days that we have worked together, and I'm so grateful to you for your faithfulness, not only to talk radio and to people like myself, your usual guest and your unusual guest. I would consider myself one of your unusual guests, and just your faithfulness to conservatism and your faithfulness to Jesus. So hats off to you, and we're very grateful for you. So God bless you and Dan, all you do, and all of your listeners here on Good Friday. God bless.
Thanks, Pastor Bill Devlin. All right, how can we top that at the moment? I don't know that he fully agreed on the prodigal son. Roe is not texting Dan yet here on this, so she's probably not listening. I know she was cleaning at some point. We're having everybody over. DJ and Luke both coming. I'm going to make sure both equal treatment up and down the line.
Who's getting the first plate at dinner,
though? Yeah, Dan, do you feel that in your family? I mean, I've met your mom, met your dad, that there's equal treatment. They go out of their way to try to do that.
No, I haven't felt it, but I'm also the baby of the family.
So
there we go.
The baby. See, that's part of the thing, too. Yeah. The middle child, truly, is the one that gets the least.
He does.
The older is going to – I was the oldest in the family. And then the baby – they're tired out by that.
And the thing is, my siblings are, my brother's 7 years older than me, my sister's 9 years older, so it was like a, second wave kind of thing.
Here's the perfect family. Jimmy Carter was the oldest president of the United States. Mm-hmm. Billy Carter was the youngest. ends up urinating on a golf course on the greens right in front of national press.
Had some great beer, though, right?
The beer, too. Yeah, he ended up with beer. And she said, well, we got tired. So we just let him do what he wanted. All right. It is the lightning round.
That happens with parenting often, though, because you're so hypercritical about the first child. And by the second child comes, you're like, yeah, I've seen it all before. Right?
Yeah, but the first child gets the energy, the expectations, I think, that are, for some, it's a burden. For others, it's, wow. Yeah. You know, you really pay attention. Yeah. All right. So it's the lightning round next. First, let's go to Sicily, though. It said you just don't visit Sicily. You fall head over heels in love with the ancient crossroads of civilization. The Greeks, the Romans, the Arabs, all coming through. And we're going with Talk Radio 1210 listeners, Ro and me, the sun, the sea, the unparalleled beauty. This is Mediterranean. Think of the word Mediterranean. Europe. That's what Sicily is. And Calabria this fall. And if you're headed to Europe, even if you don't come with us on this trip, conservative tours, that's the only way to go. $55.44, including airfare, the dining events, the fun with listeners, the wine. People like Leslie. You hear Leslie. She was the last trip. She got us out of New York's airport. Bustling Palermo, the Quattro Conte, stunning Montreal, the Palace of the Normans. Call Conservative Tours. They're there now. ConservativeTours.com. 888-733-9494. We'll also enjoy the Godfather Tour, all those locales from the three films, The Crown Jewel of Sicily, Taormina, the Valley of the Temples, Savoca. It's ancient, picturesque, and you'll be with friends. 888-733-9494.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
All right, you got to be quick. Give us that bad boy. Let's go to Drew in Upper Darby. Drew, who's your bad boy?
Hey, Dom, thank you so much. You know, Dom, during the latter part of the 70s, this guy was known as the dirtiest NFL football player, not from the league, but from his peers. He very rarely got flagged because what happened in the trenches stayed in the trenches. And that was Conrad Dobler.
Yeah, he's infamous, without a doubt. Earl, you're next. Earl, who's your person?
Mine is Grigory Rasputin, the mad Russian monk. Just had a hypnotic appeal. He was filthy, smelled, but somehow managed to sleep with all of the women in royalty in Russia until they finally decided they're tired of him sleeping with their wives. So they tried to poison him with cyanide. That didn't work. So they went and they shot him in the chest. He fell down. They took his coat and his hat back to his house to make it look like he went home so that they wouldn't be charged with the murder. They came back to pick up the body. He jumped up and attacked them. They shot him in the head. And to make sure that he was stayed dead, they wrapped him in a blanket, took him to a local bridge, and dumped him in the river to make sure that he stayed away from their wives.
All right, there you go. Robert in Ben Salem's got, I think, a great one here to me. But there have been several great ones. Robert, who's yours?
Hey, Dom Henry, good to talk to you. I'll get right to it. I'm going to go to that colonial era Lothario. That would be Benjamin Franklin, because he did what Rasputin did to the French wives, so they were probably glad to see him go too. But I like Ben Franklin, and you guys have a great weekend.
Thank you. Ben Franklin, notorious yet great at the same time. And I think it's his birth date or his death date within one of these days here. I think it's death date, maybe. Inquirer's got a piece on it today. All right, Dan, who did you like here?
I do like that last answer of Ben Franklin, but pretty earlier in the show, there was two I like from Scott and Perkesey of John McEnroe and Joe in Bordentown of Lady Godiva.
I like the Lady Godiva's outside the box, dude. Tough, and the call was very good. Henry, what do you say?
Yeah, I like the Lady Godiva and the John McEnroe answer, and I like the Ben Franklin right at the end.
Yeah, let's go Lady Godiva, though. That was the only female we got. Put that in. We have five winners this week. Let's go.
All right. So, Monday, we're asking for that all-time split. Chuck in Newtown Square gave us the Grand Canyon. Tuesday, we did something that you don't want to do, but you just have to end up doing it anyway. Pat in Lehigh Valley gave us the answer of downsizing. Wednesday, we asked for something you can't believe people do in public. Robert and Ben Salem gave us double dip in the chip.
Yes.
Yesterday, we asked for something or someone exotic. Florence and Drexel Hill gives the answer of Melania Trump. And then you just heard it right there, that all-time bad boy, Joe in Bordentown with Lady Godiva. Oh, thank you, Dan. I got the dice in front of me today.
Okay, let's roll.
All right, let's take a roll and see what happens here.
Oh, sound effects. Yes.
That'd be caller number five on the week. Joe in Bordentown, you're today's winner.
Oh, Lady Godiva wins.
Lady Godiva comes
nicely
through.
Played, Joe.
Who roll to five.
Is a colorful character, particularly when he's talking about clubs to go to there in Bordentown. All right, Joe. You are the winner. Enjoy the $50 gift card to Gallo's. Thank you, Jim Harvey. Gallo's, great seafood right there. What is it? Rawn on the Boulevard. And the Harv Burger, the Harv Bar, right there. All-time greats. Please go to that. Particularly, you love seafood. These holidays, they're the place to go. And thank you for doing that. All right. Thanks to Dan. Thanks to Henry. Full show today. Send all those letters. Henry's more the religious expert on the show about the prodigal son to him. Don't bother me with them. I am headed off to Easter and the Wrath of Roe when I get home. But Rich Cioli is next. And what a show today. What a day. Madeline Dean, those are the cuts of the year. Cannot be topped. Let me know on Twitter if you think of anything else we played. Can't beat Madeline Dean for Hypocrisy. Rich is next.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.